This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Kathy. How you doing today?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
So we are not together today. We are working remotely because, as our listeners probably know, we're in the middle of the COVID-19. And so Vicki is at her house and I'm at my house. And we have our guest on the line, but I'm sitting here looking out my window, and I wonder if this has happened a lot in your neighborhood. I see tons of people walking and biking, people I've never seen before, and doing exercise that I don't think they've ever done before. Have you seen that too?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think I drive about 5 miles per hour through the neighborhood now because of that. I mean, it's just incredible. So many people are out, and I can see them all out there again today, walking and talking and biking and running into the street to chase after their balls. So, yes, beautiful day.
No, it's good to be extra cautious. So this has been kind of fun. So our son Ethan is now just about to be 15, and he has gotten really into cycling over this whole pandemic, which I'm thrilled with because, you know, it's a great form of exercise and all of that. But one of the challenges is that he's outgrown his bike, and we've been trying to get him a new bike, but we can't because the supply is really, really limited right now due to COVID and then some of the riots. In fact, he purchased a bike out of France, and they took the money out of the account, and then they gave it back because they said they wouldn't be able to get it back up and running until 2021. So it's kind of interesting, but it's a good tie-in to our guest who we have today, and I'm really excited for you to learn more and our listeners to learn more. So we have Tom Hanley, who is the founder of 913 Sports. He founded the organization in 2011. After a career as an elite-level track cyclist, winning 4 national championships while attending Marion University. Unfortunately, in the aftermath of a commercial vehicle accident, it ended his cycling career, and he took sort of that change to make a change in the direction of his intended career path of becoming a lawyer. So the city of Indianapolis has really rallied around him, and he made it his mission to give back to the city in the best way he knew how, using the power of the bicycle. 913 has grown from a 1-person operation serving about 1,000 kids in the first year to an 11-person team serving over 50,000 kids annually. Tom started 913 Sports, I know, to make the lives of Central Indiana kids better and continues to lead the team making it happen. Also, during this whole COVID-19 thing, 913 really has done some interesting pivots with their business model. And so I'm really excited for everybody to hear a little bit about how all that came about too. So welcome. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great.
Good.
Excellent. Well, it's hard to top that intro, so thank you so much for the kind words and giving a little bit of backstory and context about what we're fortunate to be able to do on a daily basis.
So tell us how it works. In days that are not COVID-filled, how does 913 work? How do you impact all of these lives using the bike?
Yeah, so we've got a few different programs, but I'll start with what we launched with back in 2012 when it was just a crazy idea, and I was blissfully naive at the age of 24. we take stationary bicycle simulators into schools and youth organizations, basically put youth in the middle of a big stationary bike video game, and we actually integrate our curriculum into the physical education classes across schools all across Central Indiana. So What that looks like is we actually work alongside the physical education teacher. We work with kids as young as kindergarten all the way up through high school, and we become part of their gym class. And it's not unusual for us to go into school for the first time and know that about 10% of the students we see have never been on a bike before they get on the stationary bikes that we bring in and start pedaling. So it's been an absolutely humbling and rewarding experience to be able to build this from the ground up since 2012. And that is by far our largest, the program that serves the largest amount of students. Additionally, we've got a couple other really cool programs we launched over the past 2 years. One is a program called Kids Building Bikes. And we try to keep our branding pretty simple. So kids riding bikes, kids building bikes, doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination and self-explains. But Kids Building Bikes is designed to be an after-school program, a smaller, more boutique type of program where we work with 8 students at a time, typically twice per week for 4 weeks. It's about 16 hours of curriculum. And we have a big 48-foot trailer that we've actually built out as a mobile bike shop. So we're able to take it to the students. We roll up outside the school, and we bring our staff, we bring the trailer, and we bring this awesome mobile bike shop that is a learning experience and education space in itself. And with that, we actually teach kids how to work with tools, typically focusing on grades 4 through 8, many of which have never held a wrench before or don't know how to use a screwdriver. So we're teaching the basics with that, which goes to workforce development and employability skills and getting kids to think about what they might want to be as they grow up. And ultimately, over the course of those 8 classes, they are learning how to work on a bicycle, maintain a bicycle, and then ultimately, upon successful completion of these classes, they get to graduate with a brand new giant bicycle, a brand new helmet, and a brand new lock that they get to take home. So we're physically putting tools in their hands, and then we're physically creating an opportunity for them to earn a bike that they can use for many years to come. And then the other program lines we've got, one is called Explore Indy, and that focuses on actually connecting not just kids but families with the community here in Central Indiana. So we do a lot of work with Indy Parks. We do a lot of educational experiences for school organizations, and we're actually taking people of all ages out and learning the history of Indianapolis through the power of two wheels. So whether that's why Monument Circle exists, or why the Monon Trail is there, and the history behind the Monon Trail and when it was a railroad. Really just trying to create placemaking opportunities and create long-term connections for Hoosiers to help highlight how awesome Indianapolis really is. So everything we do is focused on using the bicycle as an education tool, and we've been very fortunate to grow from this crazy idea I had to where we sit today.
Wow. I missed the pre-interview, so I'm thankful to hear that great synopsis. And what a cool organization. I just love this. I thought with your name, 913, when we were pitched to interview you as a good fit for our program, my initial response was, oh, this is something to do with Channel 13, our NBC affiliate here in Indianapolis. How did you come up with the name 913 Sports?
We get that a lot. I always like to joke that the logo means I get to walk into places that I probably shouldn't otherwise get to go because they just assume I'm with the news. But so that's the unintended upside of it. But in all reality, it's actually my birthday. So candidly, I didn't know where this was going to go when I was 24, when I started this, and sitting here almost 9 years later now. It's been an incredible journey, but I'm still really proud of the fact that there's a little bit of my personal branding on every one of our trucks, on every letterhead that goes out. In fact, the logo itself is really nothing more than a day calendar, where instead of September being at the top of it, it's 9.
And so was it hard or difficult to get into the school system? And you're in how many school systems right now?
So we work with about 24 school districts on an annual basis across 9 counties, and we have much more demand than we have supply of. So if we had unlimited resources, we could be in 3 or 4 times what we're actually doing, which is a great problem to have. It's nice to be wanted. One of the conversations I get all the time when I get phone calls from strangers who are running organizations that are doing great work across the country, that's the number one question. How did you get into the schools? And if I had an easy answer for that, I'd probably have a whole separate company in addition to 913. But the reality is when we built this, nobody said no. You know, we I built this curriculum. I built this vision of going into schools, which I realize is highly unusual now in hindsight. But we really structured it in a way where I wasn't looking to charge schools a fee for a programming. We really just wanted access to their youth. And early on, it was really trial by fire in the fact that I knew I couldn't expect kids to come to a bricks and mortar type facility as this brand new organization. I knew, you know, transportation was a roadblock for the youth I was striving to serve in Marion County. And so I put on my thinking hat and asked myself, where are the kids? How do I get to the kids? And the logical answer and solution was, well, let's just start working with the schools. And we had one PE teacher who happened to be a bicyclist who was really excited about what I was talking about, who welcomed us in to beta our program. And that led to a pretty strong experience of word of mouth. All the physical education teachers are pretty close here in Central Indiana. So one thing led to another, which led to another. And suddenly we went from serving three schools and about 1,000 kids in 2012, the first year we had programming, to in 2015, we were working with about 20,000 kids. And now we're working with almost 60,000 kids in a non-COVID year.
Right. Well, and so, so that was my next question. You're in the schools. Fast forward, March of 2020, and the schools close. What happens then?
Yeah, you know, much like everybody else, this was a whirlwind for us. We physically had teams out at school sites the Tuesday afternoon that we made the executive decision to go ahead and temporarily hit pause on programming. And it's pretty terrifying to see everything I've built and everything I've worked hard to put together to really go into this moment of crisis where we weren't sure at that point when schools would open back up. They hadn't made the call at that point that it was going to be through the end of the 2019-2020 school year. And more importantly, we weren't sure if even when things opened back up, we would be welcomed in these early days of COVID. So we really started diving in and trying to figure out what this all looked like. And we had some scary moments, as I know many other businesses, whether you're for profit or not for profit, had. And I've got 11 employees, 7 of which are supposed to be in schools on a daily basis, and they're an incredible team that make what we do possible. And so I was really in this kind of paradigm shift where on one hand, I wanted to keep every single one of my incredible team members employed. On the other hand, I knew I had to do what was needed to make sure the organization survived. And so over the course of the next week and a half, as we watched the early days of COVID play out, we hunkered down at our facility and kind of buttoned things up, did a whole lot of cleaning, did system repairs, equipment repairs, things like that. And we made the executive decision to go on an extended spring break. So I watched my staff walk out on the third Friday in March, and quite honestly, wasn't sure if all or any of them would be coming back whenever this thing ended. And so there was a lot of self-doubt. There was a lot of concern. There was a lot of, trying to figure out the best path forward here when absolutely everything was shut down. And so I took the next 48 hours after that that brutal Friday where I watched my staff walk out and I sat in my office and felt really sorry for myself and cried a whole lot of tears and really started trying to figure out what I could do to repurpose our operations. And, you know, at our core, we go to schools. We've always gone to the children. So that means we have three big transportation vans that we haul all of our equipment for kids riding bikes. We have a 48-foot truck and trailer for our kids building bikes classroom. And we've got a 16-foot trailer. And, you know, really just once again put my thinking hat on here and try to figure out what we could do. And on a Monday morning phone call I had with the rest of my leadership team after that weekend, as we were talking about what our strategy was to have to furlough staff if and when we got there and what all these other uncertainties were, I tossed this crazy idea up that, well, you know, the big pain point right now is it seems to be food delivery and food accessibility. And I don't know how, but there could be a path forward for us to be able to repurpose these assets and these people we have. And so really from there, kind of it took off like wildfire. I reached out to a few community partners of ours that put us in touch with the individuals at Gleaners and the mayor's office and Second Helpings. And in the space of another 48 hours from that Monday morning 10 a.m. phone call to Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., we were moving our first food to help support food assistance operations across Marion County. So just like everything else in my world, it's been fast-paced. We've learned a lot along the way, but we went from looking at, you know, what was going to be necessary for furloughs and making sure the organization survived through the summer to right now we're moving about 150,000 pounds of food a week for residents in Marion County with two different food operation programs alongside the Gleaners, Mayor's Office, and Second Helpings.
Wow, congratulations. You know, to be able to, you know, self-describe, feel sorry for yourself for 48 hours and to turn it into that, that's incredible. So as the state is reopening and the counties that you serve specifically, what are your plans for getting back to the original mission, and for once that happens, the scaling? You know, like you mentioned, it's a good problem to have a wait list and not be able to serve everyone who is interested. What's in the future?
Yeah, so, you know, right now we're in this fortunate spot that we get to look at what we're doing right now and start looking forward towards the second half of the year. And we've had a lot of these conversations internally and just recently pushed what our external plan is moving forward. So obviously still a lot of uncertainty. Schools still don't know fully what they're going to be doing when early August comes around. So we've got a few different pathways. We anticipate doing some sort of food delivery through the end of 2020. We've got two different food operation programs, which equate to the 150,000 pounds of food a week. One is a bulk food support program, so helping Gleaners transport food using our big trucks and trailers to 32 different agencies that are running their own food pantry programs across Marion County, but didn't have big vehicles to be able to haul tens of thousands of pounds of food. And then the other one is our home delivery program. So residents across Marion County who can't leave their home, who call 211 or Gleaners directly, are actually able to get food delivered to their doorstep if they're considered high risk. And so we're delivering up to about 1,000 homes a week directly to the front doors and porches of residents who can't seek other food assistance. So we know we're going to be doing that for a while. But on the bike front, we are slowly starting to spool things back up. In fact, at the end of this month, June 29th, we're going to be relaunching our Kids Building Bikes program in partnership with Indy Parks, and we've made the adjustments in terms of the social distancing requirements and the sanitary requirements with constant cleaning of the tools and the bikes and the trailer and the staff education that's gone with that. But we feel that it is imperative to get back to the bicycle in some way. And so working with these smaller groups is an easy starting point for us. And we'll be doing that through the rest of the summer. We also will relaunch our Explore Indy partnership in relationship with Indy Parks here in the middle of July and start getting families out using all those brand new bikes that have been bought. And as you were saying on the lead in here, that are hard to get. We want to now make sure that residents in Marion County understand all the great greenways and parkway systems that exist. And then on the school front, we're constantly talking with our district partners. We're talking with our corporate and philanthropic partners and healthcare sector partners. And we still don't know what that looks like. So I think that will be the last program of ours to come back online. And it'll probably be on a county by county basis and a district by district basis. But, you know, in all reality, I do not see us having program operations in three schools simultaneously on a daily basis like we have for the past few years. I see it being a one or two type of school situation, and I'm hopeful for that. But that allows us to continue to deliver the food and be a food resource here through the end of the year in Marion County. And just like anything else we've done historically in 913, we'll adapt and adjust as needed and seek out the information that helps us make the best decisions.
So, Tom, what are some things that you've learned throughout this kind of pretty substantial pivot that you guys have made?
I'm not from Indianapolis. I'm Midwest born and raised. My parents are from Toledo, Ohio. I was born in Michigan and grew up in Columbus, Ohio. And Indianapolis was never a place I was planning on staying beyond school. And 16 years later, here I still am. And it's because the city is an incredible place. And people are willing to step up when needed and when asked. And when they know there's a need, even when they aren't asked. And so for us and for my team, you know, really in the early days of this, we wanted to help. We wanted to be a resource. We wanted to be able to continue to support the community in a different way. And there's absolutely no world where at the beginning of 2020, I thought we'd be moving food like this, like we are on a daily and weekly basis. But, you know, we just feel very fortunate. And so, you know, my big takeaway is, I'm not sure there's many other communities where all of these different organizations that normally don't work together could have come together in the space of a couple days and created this totally new operation. There was no home food delivery program before we got asked to step up alongside Gleaners and Second Helpings from the mayor's office. And so, you know, the Hoosier Hospitality isn't just a tagline we use. My biggest takeaway has been, it's been incredible to see all of these organizations work together to collaborate and to serve our fellow residents and do it in a way where, you know, that we've broken down as many barriers as possible, you know, for individuals that don't have access to a computer, they can make a phone call to request the food delivery. For individuals that don't, you know, don't have the ability to make a phone call, they can send a text message. They can work with their social worker for these food delivery services. And the biggest takeaway of all is we are delivering to all four corners of the city on a daily basis. There is not one area of Indianapolis and Marion County that we have not delivered food to. And I think that really just highlights how immediately impactful and devastating the last few months has been and the uncertainty that it's created for individuals and for families. And so, you know, all of that being said, it just makes it all that much more special to be able to step up and be in a position to be able to step up and serve the residents of this incredible city.
Well, congratulations on such a great job and for being able to shift in a way that's so needed. I'm just really impressed by what you've done. Tom, let me ask you a question. What kind of advice would you give to someone who is looking to make as big of a social impact as you, especially when, I mean, first of all, you had a complete shift in what your future plans were. And then secondly, you had this, you know, COVID pandemic hit and essentially threatened to shut down your mission. So you're clearly someone who rises above, perseveres. So how does that happen internally with you, and what advice could you give others?
Yeah, so I think it's really you know, there's two separate pathways that have gotten me here and our organization here, and it in some ways they are directly contradictory, but I think they really play a role for any entrepreneur, whether you're a small for-profit business or you're a social entrepreneur in the nonprofit world. And it's understanding that balance of needing to listen and truly identify where pain points are, where problems are that you think you may have a solution for, can be a resource to help solve. And it's also, in some ways, the old adage of ask for forgiveness and not for permission. I didn't ask to be able to start 913 Sports, and it was so out there that, you know, it would have been really easy for somebody to say no and really shut down this thing in the early days. And fast forward to the last few months, we didn't really ask if we could deliver food. We said we had the ability to do it and asked where we needed to be to pick up the first load of food. And it really is that balance. You know, we needed to identify what that pain point was, where we could step up, where we could be a resource. But at the same time, we didn't have time to sit around and figure out the nuances, right? Whether it was, well, how are we going to get paid for this? I truly believe that if we did a good job, we'd figure out the financial piece in the weeks after we launched the food delivery. And that's exactly how it worked out. But it is a constant push and pull of being a little brash, which I think every entrepreneur needs to have just a little bit of, as well as being able to be a good community member. And not always be the one holding the microphone, but make sure you're intentionally and consciously listening And I think just in the past few weeks, that is more evident than ever before, whether we look at what's going on here in Marion County or across the country. We all need to make sure we're doing a better job of listening to others and fully understanding the scope and scale of the problems. If we don't understand them, before we speak up and give our two cents.
Yeah, thank you so much. You, lots that our listeners, I think, will glean from this conversation, and we really appreciate it. How can listeners get more information about 913 Sports?
Yeah, so easiest way is to check out our website, 913sports.org, which is NINE13sports.org. We just relaunched a brand new website late in 2019, so we're really proud of it. It's got a lot of great videos and photos and storytelling that goes with it. Also check out our social media handles, which are all at 913sports, NINE13sports, and reach out if any of the listeners have any questions. I love to talk about what we're doing and figure out how we can find new ways to serve the community, either through the bicycle or through our community relationships.
So, Vicki, I was so thrilled to get the Taking Care in Community nomination for Second Helpings. Second Helpings is such an amazing organization here in Indianapolis that has been here for about 20 years, and they are doing amazing work. Their mission, transforming lives through the power of food, is really very spot on. Second Helpings is a community kitchen that prepares and delivers more than 1 million meals to the Central Indiana community each year. They don't just teach people to cook. They provide an avenue for people to transform their own lives. And they also don't just collect food. They rescue food because they refuse to stand by and allow waste while so many in our community do not have the healthy food that they need to thrive. So Second Helpings has three primary programs, food rescue, where they rescue food from grocery stores and other retail establishments that are coming near their due date or that haven't been used in a catering operation. They bring it back to their facility, they re-prepare it, and then put it out in terms of their hunger relief program to agencies all over the city, which is great. And their culinary job training program takes people who are unemployed or underemployed and teaches them skills so that they can be successful and earn money in jobs in the culinary arts. So they're just amazing. Are you familiar with them, Vicki?
Oh, yeah. We, Bolson Group, we volunteered there a couple times last year as a team. Funny story, I was put on onions, and I literally chopped onions for 4 hours straight. And
wow.
It was so much fun. I mean, it was pretty like, whoa, but it was great, you know, just watching everybody in the kitchen preparing, taking my onions to put into, you know, 200 casseroles that they were making to deliver to, you know, a shelter or something. It's just fascinating. So we love them. We love volunteering there. And also when we moved out of our office, because of COVID, we negotiated out of our office lease because work from home, we knew was going to go on for Lord knows how long. And I just thought, this is a time to make a shift. And so we were packing up all of our stuff for storage for the next office or whatever, and we found that we had all kinds of plates and silverware and, tea bags and coffee and salt and pepper and all this stuff, and we took a carload over to Second Helpings, and so that was pretty cool, too. It's what I love about them is they rescue the food, and then they make it into meals for people, which I think is different than a lot of the food insecurity not-for-profits. It's a different approach and a wonderful approach. And I love the job training as well. I could take a couple of those classes and learn quite a bit, I think. So it's high quality teaching, high quality organization.
Yeah. So we're very, very happy to recognize Second Helpings as our Taking Care in Community highlight this episode.
Yeah, thanks to National Bank of Indianapolis for sponsoring these segments.
Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
and our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.